You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Jaguar fans? This is Tony Wiggins with another edition of Locked On Jaguars here on a Tuesday, 2 days away from the 2021 NFL Draft. And, of course, the Jaguars used the number one pick on what is expected to be Trevor Lawrence, the new franchise quarterback for the Jaguars franchise. It won't be too much of a surprise. So I'll let you guys know what we have coming up on the show and what we have in store today. We're going to talk about comments that Urban Meyer made on the podcast for the Adam Schefter podcast. I'm going to take excerpts from an article that was on SI by Cassidy Hill here that covers the Jags locally. Some quotes from that, some pickups that she got from that. And Urban really just basically ironed out and hashed out what he meant by when he talks about talent versus value. And it's pretty much what I've been saying here on Locked On Jaguars and what I suspected that he meant, and to get rid of some of the confusion that people were thinking that he was going to basically take guys that didn't have high value because of a need. And that's not what he really, really meant. And I didn't think that's what he meant. And then how he discusses where in college, he just in recruiting, he just takes the highest rated guy. And if he can't get him, he moves on to the next one at a various position. And that's also what I told you that they do. College coaches, you know how that goes. And his thinking was just get the best guy you can get at every spot. So we'll talk about that at some point in segment three. Segment two, I'm going to go over my top 25. I got a top 25. It's a little big board. I didn't want to do too much of a big board. 25 is significant because that's where the Jaguars pick. They pick 25th. It doesn't mean that the person that I have 25th is somebody who they're going to take. In this case, it's somebody who I don't expect to be there, but it's definitely someone who the Jags would probably have some interest in as we examine what they what their plans are. In segment one, though, I have to do this because it's almost going to sound like a broken record, but we have to set up everything that we're going to do for the rest of the show by saying this, because this is coming to a head and it's almost over, and we're going to have our answers throughout this weekend. By Sunday morning, we'll have our answers and we'll have an idea. Folks have to understand that when people that do content, or especially me, I'll speak for myself, when I do this stuff, I'm doing it for different reasons. The one thing I'm trying to do, and I've explained this before, is I'm trying to give the best information that I can based on the tendencies and the history of the people that draft. And we don't have much of that here because obviously Urban Meyer came from college, even though we have Trent Baalke. But I try to go with league tendencies, his histrionics, the way scouts think based on my experience of talking to people over like a 20-something year period, and then just observing and watching, right? And the way that these drafts have gone, and I've tried to pay attention to the flow and the tendencies and all of those things that go into this every single year, and I try to just give out good information. The other thing is I try to tell you what I think the teams are going to do, not me personally. If I'm telling you what I would do, I will label that as what would Wig do. Or I'll tell you, this is the direction that I think they would go in. I'd say if it were me. Most of the times, what I'm doing is I'm taking things that these people have said and I hold them at their word. So you can do one or two things. You can take what they say as a smokescreen. You can take what they say as speculation or not believe them. What I'd rather do is, and I've explained this before, I'd rather just believe what they say. And if they're lying, they're lying. But at least whatever they say is what I'm going to go on. So if Urban Meyer comes out in a press conference and says that he likes this and likes this and likes that, then that's what I'm going to go on in trying to determine what they're going to do. I'm not going to go on speculating whether he's telling the truth or not, because then you might as well not even listen to it. So when I saw them at Clemson's work, at Clemson's pro day, when Trevor Lawrence wasn't even working out, And the reports are they were paying so much close attention to Amari Rodgers and Travis Etienne. And then you know that Urban has been in the college game as an analyst for the last few years, and Clemson has been in a lot of big games. So when you know that, and you know that Travis Etienne has made a bunch of plays in a bunch of big games, and he's probably made a huge impression on Urban Meyer, well, that would lead you to think that when Urban says he likes explosiveness and he wants guys, and he says, quote unquote, they like James Robinson, but they need more explosiveness out of position, and they want somebody to take some of those carries off of him, that they're going to go out and get somebody that's going to help take those carries off of him who's explosive, right? So if they're at the Clemson workout and they're paying attention to wide receivers and running backs that can catch and wide receivers that can actually line up in the backfield, it shouldn't surprise you when someone says that they mock the 25th pick to Travis Etienne. And then I don't want to get into a Twitter rant with people as to why. The why is because of that. If you pay attention to the context of everything, that's the why. The why is because of what they said, because of what they've repeatedly talked about them wanting to do, and the possibilities that these things might happen. Folks want to argue with you about it and want to debate with you, why would they do that? Well, why would they do it? It's because that's what they said that they might do. And that's what they hinted that they might do. It ain't me. It's what they... So when folks want to get into this, that doesn't make sense. It might not make sense. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm not trying to make it make sense. What I'm trying to just give you is the information based on what those guys have said. So there's this prevailing thought now that the Jaguars need to build the team up before they add shiny new parts. And I think that that narrative is so overplayed, because if you ask me, last year when they drafted, they had 12 picks. And they chose two skill position players, I believe two wide receivers, and they didn't even choose a running back. James Robinson was an undrafted free agent. But they chose two wide receivers, and they used all of these other picks on all of this other stuff, right? And then in free agency, when they used all of their free agent acquisitions on fill-in players, some of the guys didn't even play because they ended up opting out. But they were infrastructure guys, right? And then this year, when they signed 13 free agents, they signed two wide receivers. And you guys can't tell me that, yeah, Philip Dorsett really moved the needle for you. No, he didn't. I know he didn't. And it's not to knock him, but he didn't. Okay? So you add two wide receivers. You had a kick returner that's going to play wide receivers, who most of you guys never heard of. And they used all of those other free agency picks on role players, with the exception of the cornerback, Shaq Griffin. At what point are the Jaguars going to draft early playmakers who score touchdowns? That's all I want to know. And I know you're going to bring up Viska, and I know you're going to bring up DJ Chark. Okay, it's two guys in the last 3 years. And it's the fourth year now for Chark. At what point do they draft guys that take the ball to the house? And I'm not talking about just one guy. There are teams every single year that have offensive players that are dynamic. And you know what they do in the first and second round? Get another one. Why are we so stuck on constantly getting spackle and screws and 2x4s and all of this other stuff? Why doesn't anyone ever want to paint this house? How come nobody ever wants to do any decorating? Why does everyone want to constantly keep building the infrastructure of this house? At what point do you think they're going to, okay, with the first pick, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. When do you guys think this team is actually going to go out and try to get some superstars? I don't know. And it bewilders me that folks continue to go, need to keep building the team up. This conservative Gene Smith approach is about to drive me absolutely crazy. Yeah, I am all for building the team up. I am all for the infrastructure. I am all for all of that. But before I pause for the cause, I will tell you, y'all the same people that wanted Dave Caldwell fired. If you're telling me that you think they have enough weapons on this team right now, then why were y'all asking for that man to lose his job? If you're telling me that the best football players, that the star players on this team are the guys that they already had, which that's the truth. It's Josh Allen. It's Miles Jack. It's C.J. Henderson on defense. On offense is D.J. Chark. It's James Robinson, right? It's the franchise left tackle, Cam Robinson. It's Juwan Taylor, Brandon Linder. Okay, you're going to get quarterback and Trevor Lawrence, right? But other than him, other than that, and he's a very important part. Don't let me sound like I'm just, but how come everyone acts like that's enough? Like they were 1-15. So it's enough that you just change the coach and add a franchise quarterback and all of a sudden everything else is going to be all right. And you know what? I do think they're going to be very improved. And I do think that what I just said, that will be a vast improvement. But why stop there is my point. My point is, are we just trying to prove that we can be better? Or do you want a chance to be great? You want your quarterback, your great quarterback, throwing the ball to guys that can really show and prove themselves to be good? Or do you want him, what's the point? You want him throwing to as many weapons as he can. I want him throwing to as many weapons as he can. I don't care where they can use the 25th, the 33rd pick. I don't care if they use them all on wide receivers. Give him some weapons and let them figure it out for themselves. So I'll talk in the second segment here about a quote, and I'm going to read it to you, about what Urban Meyer actually did say about this value versus talent. Okay? And it's very pointed, and it's very real, and it's very easily understood, and I think it got misunderstood last week. This is a good time, man. Let's enjoy it, man, but let's stop settling for mediocrity in our mindset that it's just going to be, you're doing Trevor Lawrence a disservice if you just, okay, well, get Trevor and just get it. They already told y'all they're not, we like our line, and we'll do some stuff for depth and competition. But everybody sitting there, yeah, just build a lineup. They're not going to do that. I'm not saying they won't take an offensive lineman at 25. They might take one at 33. But they're not using three picks in this. They're not totally going to use half the draft on line of scrimmage players. How many DBs do you actually think they have room for with all the additions that they made in free agency and the money that they doled out? They might have room for one more corner, maybe one more corner. And maybe one safety. How many linebackers? How many inside linebackers do you think they're going to have room for? How many defensive tackles? And there aren't very many good defensive tackles in this draft. There's some sleepers, but the kind of guys that you can that when they talk about adding to the line, if you don't get the Onzu Ricky guy from Washington, if you don't get him and Barmore, even though there's some questions about Barmore, if you don't get one of those guys in the top 40, you might as well just, where the value is going to be is somewhere between 75 and 100 for the rest of these guys. It's not up top. And it might even be later than that. So you got to understand, if somebody makes a suggestion that they pick something at 25 or 33, guys, it's okay. The draft doesn't end there. The Jaguars have more picks. It's not, the draft doesn't stop there. They have more picks, and 66% of the league was picked after the third round of all the active players last year. It's all right, okay? The draft doesn't end after the first two rounds. They're going to have more picks to be able to do all of that stuff that you guys want to do. But I'm just against passing up really, really good players at the top of the draft that play a position that you may not want them to take a player and go, well, no, don't take a guy. No. What I'm trying to say is this. Take the best player. I don't care what position he plays. You take him, especially if you're going to If you would invest in that position in the fourth round, you might as well do it in the first round. If you're gonna invest in a position in the fourth round, you might as well do it in the first round. If the guy in the first round is better at that position than a guy at another position is, in the why would you take a player that's not as good? And that's pretty much what Urban was saying. And this is what I've been trying to tell you guys this over and over and over again. So we'll talk about his comments, and I'll let you just decipher for yourself if it's a little bit more understandable to you guys with the way that he laid it out. We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. Got to tell you guys about betonline.ag though, man. Betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go. As the NFL draft is on, the Kentucky Derby, that's my thing, man, is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up, and bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website and use your mobile device right now and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Now, your promo code to get your 50% welcome bonus is Locked On. One word, Locked On. It's betonline.ag. And I want to tell you guys about the Locked On NFL draft coverage as we come back here on a Tuesday. And it's all draft all the time right now. And this year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live three-day coverage of the NFL draft April 29th through May 1st. So, now that we've got everything cleared up, man, a little bit, you know, we're just rocking to it a little bit, man. I'm just trying to kind of get everybody sort of on the same page here. Like, it's not me. It's them. I'm not the one making the picks, all right? It's them. And what I've tried to do is just use the things that they have said about what their tendencies are and how they view this draft. And I've really tried to hone in on them and the things that they have said that they like and the things that, you know, that they value. And, you know, Urban Meyer did another podcast interview with Adam Schefter. Wish he came on Locked On Jaguars, but that's another thing. But he did that with Adam Schefter. And one of the things that stuck with me that he spoke about is him having to adjust to the value board and how general managers and scouts plan drafts, and he still have to actively shift how he views each player. So this is a quote, and I'm going to read it to you, right? He goes, "The whole process in recruiting, you identify the best players and you go after them. Everything here is all about value. It's vertical, but it's also horizontal. You list your running backs in order, and then for 30 years, that's all you did. You listed people vertically. Now you have to say, okay, horizontally, is this running back better than that defensive end at that pick? It's all value, and it's really just really intriguing, and the personnel people work, and I have so much respect, blah, 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 blah." So what he's saying is you still list them vertically. Like, you might have this guy at one, this guy at two, this guy at three, and you have your needs, and you know what your needs are, right? So I assume that instead of having, and this is what I've been told in the past, instead of just having one single board with the players listed in order of or ranked like a value board, Some teams have that value board, and then other teams, some teams have that, and then they have a separate board where they have them listed by position. And when you have them listed by position, it allows you to look at your needs. And when you see your needs, you can then prioritize your needs, and you can do it very quickly. You can prioritize your needs. Let's say you need a running back, an offensive lineman, and an interior defensive lineman. All right, so it's your time to pick. You can look at the available players at the top of each one of those position groups. And when you look at the available players at each one of the top of those position groups, you know where they're ranked on your board as well. And you can decide which one of those guys is worth picking at that spot based on, one, the need, and two, how good he is as a player. For instance, if the running back, let's just use number 25 as an example. If that running back is the 22nd best player on your board, the offensive lineman is the 28th best player on your board, and the interior defensive lineman is the 35th best player on your board, right? So the running back is the better player. Overall, he's just a better player. But as it relates to the board, you're going to go now horizontal and you're going to go, yeah, but is it worth taking him here, or do we take the lineman, or do we drop back a little bit and try to get this guy but get him later and get another pick? Or where can we see us getting that other guy? Where's our next pick? Our next pick is at 33. Okay, so here, we might miss the offensive lineman, but guess what? We could take that back now. Or we can take that lineman now and we can still get that defensive lineman at 33. You see how it works? And then you go, okay, who's the next best running back? Okay, the next best running back, we have him, he's at 48. We have a pick at 45. So how would we feel if we got the offensive lineman here, sit at 33 and probably get that defensive lineman? And then what's the gap between the next running back and that guy that's at 22? Okay, 22 to 43, not bad. So maybe we can get that guy. Are they comparable as players? So you go vertical, but then you go horizontal. That's what he means by value, as opposed to addressing the biggest need first with the next player at that position that is your biggest need. You see what I'm saying? So when that came out a couple of weeks ago, I think people were confused a little bit, and people were thinking that, well, he's just going to address his need regardless of the talent level of the player. I ain't saying that he was going to take a fourth-round pick in the end of the first round, but I think that there were people that thought that they were going to force it, that they were going to really, really go after need, and that he was being – I think folks really interpreted what he was saying was he knew what he needed, and they were telling him, no, you have to pay attention to the board. You can't take what you need if – the value isn't there. You have to make sure you take them where they belong. And that Urban somehow was struggling with that. Like, no, we need a tight end. We got to take this guy at 25, even though if he's only ranked 6. That, to me, is not what he was struggling with. I don't ever think that you have to convince a guy like Urban Meyer to not take a player who's not as good as another player. You don't have to convince him not to take him. You don't have to convince a guy like Urban Meyer to not take the 60th ranked player at 25. He's just not yoked that way. You actually have to convince him not to take the 25th best player at 25 if it's a position that's loaded and you might be able to get him later on, 5 or 6 picks later, if you have another pick, like from 25 to 33. The value may not be there for that position. So you might have him as the 25th best pick, but because of the position he plays, somebody might be telling you, Urban, you can get him 10 picks later. Just hold on. Even though we like him and even though we think he's that high, because of that position, it is not valued as high. For instance, I'll tell you why some of these positions aren't valued. If a guy is a pure 5 technique or a 3-4 defensive end, if half the teams in the league play a 4-3 and they don't envision him as a guy who can play in a 4-down lineman, his value goes down for half the teams in the league because now only half the teams in the league desire him on their roster. If a guy is a 4-3 weak side linebacker that can't play inside, then teams that play a 3-4, they don't even probably even have him anywhere near their board if they can't force if they can't foresee him playing inside. Like a guy like the Levante David could do both. Telvin Smith couldn't. So you won't even see teams that run a 3-4 even have them anywhere listed in their list of priorities because they don't use guys like that. If a team plays two safeties, split safeties, they probably won't look at a guy who plays traditionally in the box if they're not playing single high because they don't use a box safety. So they probably have no use for a guy like that on their football team. So you see, that could affect his value. The value could just be affected by not every team in the league uses a guy like that. He doesn't fit their scheme. So what about an offensive lineman that is from a zone blocking scheme that people don't feel can play in another type of blocking scheme? Half the teams in the league may use one type of scheme and they don't feel like they can teach him how to do anything else. So guess what that means? Boom. If a guy is just a move tight end, well, if most of the teams in the league have move tight ends and what teams are really looking for are blocking tight ends, his value goes down again. So those are the things that you have to pay attention to when you're talking about the value of a football player. So some of these things and some of these reasons that coaches struggle with that, especially guys that aren't used to the way the NFL does things, that's why they struggle with it. I'm going to give you my top 25, my big board, my little big board. I'm going to call it my wig board. And I'm going to give that to you here on Locked On Jaguars as we continue on a Tuesday, getting ready for the draft. We're just a couple of days away. Man, this podcast is flying by. I've been running my mouth, and it's almost time for me to call it a day. But we're not going to do it because I got to tell you about rockauto.com first. Rock Auto is where you can get the best parts and accessories for any make or model of vehicle that you may own, and you can get them at the absolute best prices. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use for other things and other important things like your mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30 to 50 or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? I'm just telling you, man, one of the best places you can go is rockauto.com. Rockauto.com has been in business for a long time, over two decades, and they have been blessing people with quality parts and accessories for your vehicles. You can go to rockauto.com and they're going to ask you, how did you hear about us? And in that box, I want you to put Locked On in their how did you hear about us box so that they know we sent you. They have an amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the car parts your car will ever need. It's at rockauto.com. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, at rockauto.com, you're always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Just rockauto.com. Make sure you tell them Locked On sent you. All right, man, we keep rolling along here on Locked On Jaguars on a Tuesday. Make sure you check on Locked On Today, man. Locked On Today is a wonderful, wonderful podcast. My man, Peter Bukowski, is the cold hearted truth. It's like a shot of espresso, I always say, early in the morning. It gives you 20 good minutes of all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Wig did a big board, a little big board, a wig big board. All right, so I'm going to run down my top 25 players. I did 25. This is the Locked On Jaguars podcast. The Jaguars have the number one pick and the 25th pick. These are just my guys, the guys I looked at tape and said, okay, my consensus is this is my personal feelings of guys that I think are the best prospects. Doesn't mean I think they're necessarily going to be the best players because it depends on the situation they end up in, but these are the best prospects in my mind, and this is my big board. Trevor Lawrence is number one, of course, and he's going to be a part of your Jaguar organization. So we're going to be happy with that. Number two is Ja'Marr Chase. I thought he was the best football player, regardless of position, in 2019. And just because he sat out, I'm not going to change my mind. I know we've seen other people and fallen in love with him. I still remember how much of an alpha dog Jamar Chase was. I just can't take it out of my mind. So he's my number two player. Jalen Waddle is number three on my list. I think he's a little baby Odell Beckham. Number four is Justin Fields. I'm high on him. I'm not going to be down on him because of everyone else. Kyle Pitts. I was a little concerned about him taking hits, but he looks like more of a physical specimen than I thought. So I have Kyle Pitts at number five. Rashawn Slater is number six. Just nasty, mean and nasty offensive tackle. I really like Rashawn Slater. Devontae Smith, number seven. I don't think his size is going to be an issue. I think his heart, I think he's a dog, and I think he's going to be a very good player. Elijah Vera Tucker, number eight. I love his versatility, the fact that he can play inside and outside. I wouldn't be surprised if right away this kid is knocking on the door being an all-pro offensive lineman. Penei Sewell at number nine. You notice he's my number two, and I warned a buddy of mine that might happen throughout the year. I don't think he's generational like a Tony Boselli or those guys. I don't think he's like that. I think a lot of that was because I think he's very good, obviously, to be in the top 10, but I think he was 19 years old and was doing that, and so people assumed that he was just a generational guy. I don't think he's Tony Boselli or Joe Thomas, but I do think he's very good. Zach Wilson is number 10. Zach Wilson, for me, is a dude that could end up being Derek Carr, which isn't that terrible. But he could also be great, man. And if he's great, it's going to be greater than great because he's going to be in the media capital of the world and they're going to blow every single thing that he does up. So J.C. Horn is at 11. I just love corners that are nasty and they could get after. Has sort of that same size as Stephon Gilmore and Jalen Ramsey. Kind of plays that way. Pat Surtain is a big physical corner who reminds me of Bobby Humphrey. Not Bobby Humphrey. What am I talking about? That's the kid's dad. But Marlon Humphrey, who played at Alabama also. 13, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And let me tell you about my man right here. I think he is as physical as anybody that I've ever seen. My only fear is he ain't going to play long because he is like a human wrecking ball. But very, very rare that you see a dude that it looks like he woke up tackling people. And I think he came out of the womb knocking people's head off. So it's been a while since we had that Cam Chancellor-like dude that is just ready to destroy every single thing that he sees. So I really like him at number 13. Number 14 is Micah Parsons. And I know people say, well, he's a strong side linebacker. He's a football player. He can get it. He can run. He can do everything. I remember he was like one of the two or three best high school players in the country. I think he's a complete football player as well. Kind of reminds me of Mac a little bit. Trey Lance is 15. I didn't see enough of him, but I do like his body. I like the way he throws the ball. Reminds me of Donovan McNabb. I've said that in the past. Caleb Farley at 16. I really like his package as well. 17 for me is Najee Harris. I think whoever gets him is going to get a real good football player. Puts me at a little bit in the mind. Everybody says Steven Jackson, and I can see that because of the dreadlocks, but to me it reminds me of Matt Forte. Zaven Collins, one of my favorites. Zaven can't eat his way out of the league. And I'm not saying that because I'm not saying he's fat. He's just a big dude. And he was 258 at his workout, and then he got up to 270. And I don't want him to get to the point where he starts to get so big that he doesn't have a position. But he's a real athletic dude, too, at about 6'4.5", 6'5". Jalen Phillips, number 19 in our mock draft. In our ultimate mock draft, he fell to the Jaguars at 25, so that would be a good thing. Levi Onwuzurike, interior defensive tackle, pure three technique, got a lot of get off. He'd be a nice addition here for the Jaguars. He's at number 20. Mac Jones, quarterback out of Jacksonville, Florida, who played at Alabama. I do think that mental capacity is a huge part. What's between your shoulders and on your neck is a huge part of playing the quarterback position and what's in your heart. So what, he doesn't run like everybody else and he has a little bit of a gut like me, that's fine. He can still play the position. Trayvon Merrick, the safety out of TCU, who I really, really like. I just wonder if there's a big gap between him and a guy like Richie Grant, who you can probably get in the second round. That's the value thing that we talked about in the previous segment. Travis Etienne, I like Travis. I do. I do. So I tried to find a comp for him. I can't find anybody as of late. Reminds me a little bit of Terry Allen, and that might predate a lot of you guys, but he just has that lean, and he always seems to get that extra yard and has those big, strong legs. Some people say Kamara. I don't see the Alvin Kamara. I don't really see that. He almost runs like a smaller Todd Gurley a little bit. Elijah Moore. I love those fast receivers that can beat one-on-one coverage, catches the ball with his hands, and he's dangerous after the catch. And number 25 is a tie. Kwity Paye, who some people have in the top 10. This is the 25th pick. Jaguar fans might be happy if he fell to this area. But I also like Tevin Jenkins, so I got two of them, 25A and 25B. Tevin Jenkins and Kwity Paye. So those are the big wigs, top 25, 26 players on my big board, man. Like it or love it, man. And that's what I got for you today here on Locked On Jaguars. 2 days away, man. 2 days away. I'm going to do my ultimate wish list for the Jaguars on tomorrow's show. And then on Thursday, I'm just going to ask you how you feel, man. I'm going to ask you how you feel, and I'm going to tell you what the coverage is going to be like. I'll be doing some stuff with our techno partners here at First Coast News, as well as participating in the partnership that Locked On has with Draft Network, and I'll be doing that live too on YouTube. So enjoy yourself, man. Have a good day, and just get ready for it, man, because it's almost here. It's Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars.